But do you know when I find him, and this is so funny, I find him, and he's like, this is my man, is when he's fixing the toilet when I don't have to call the plumber. I'm like, oh, this is so incredible that you know how to fix the toilet. Oven the other day, and I just was like, oh, thank you so much. I said, you are so smart. And he looks at me like, oh, all the things I do, and you think I'm smart when I'm fixing the toilet and fixing the oven and stuff, you know? But admire him, you know? Because guess what? To me, that's just, I don't know, there's just something to admire about a man doing that kind of stuff. And especially, you know, I'm glad it's my guy that can do that. And, you know, people look at him sometimes and they think that, you know, that they can't believe that he does all that stuff. The only reason that we go to the speedy oil change is just because he doesn't have time to do it anymore. But he used to love to do that. He had those little rolling ramps, and he'd put on his zip-ups, you know, the all-in-one suit. I can't think, the jumpsuit or whatever. Coveralls.
Call it right. Yeah, that's a creeper you're talking about. That wrench in my hand. The grease. Me and Kenneth up under that car. Daddy, what's that? Well, you can make up stuff because he's too young to know. Son, that is the spismarinctum. Most people don't know that. That's the original Greek word for that.
But seriously, ladies, find something to admire. If he's out mowing the grass, and you're in the kitchen cooking, and you look out there, and he does something, and you see his muscles move or something, you know, like, and you go, when he comes in, even when he's still sweaty, you know, just say, oh man, I saw you mowing the grass today, and I saw your, you know, I saw the muscles in your arm. Oh baby, that, you know, that was really something. You want to see their face light up. I mean, because you are admiring them. With him, I think, I do not say when he's sitting there at the computer and the muscles in his arms are going, I don't always say that I admire that.
Oh, boy. A couple years ago, Kenneth had an interest in camping. And Gina's idea of camping is a hotel without room service, you know, so...
That's right.
So Kenneth took up an interest in camping. So I said, Gina, this year for Christmas, all I want is camping stuff. I want a sleeping bag. I want tent. I want all the things for camping. She said, are you serious? I said, yep. I said, because that's what's important to Kenneth. And I took him, between Christmas and New Year's, I took him on a 3-day camping trip. Now, I didn't have much time because I had to be somewhere else, but I took him on just a little brief 3-day camping trip. Here we are out in the it was below freezing. We're shivering, drinking our hot chocolate. And as we're sitting there drinking hot chocolate together that night, Kenneth looked at me and he said, Dad, this is the best time I've ever had in my life. Not Hawaii, not New Zealand, not Australia. Camping with his dad. Do you know why? Because for the first time, it was just him and me. And he had my undivided attention, so I could do that L. I could listen to what was on his mind. And that meant more to him than anything else we had ever done together. So make sure you're a good listener, okay? Let's talk about love for a minute. When a few years ago, when Kenneth was 6 years old, Shara was what, three?
Yeah.
3 years old. Gina wanted to put out their Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve instead of Christmas morning. I think we had to leave somewhere on Christmas. So she wanted to put out their gifts on Christmas Eve. And so she said, why don't you take the kids to eat somewhere? And while you're gone, I'll put out all the gifts. So I took the three of us, me and the two kids went out to eat. And we went to a Chinese restaurant, and we're sitting there, and the food just came to the table, and I said, Kenneth, would you please pray over the food? He's 6 years old. Would you please pray over the food, Kenneth? Christmas Eve, he bows his head, and he says, Dear Lord, thank you for this food, because I know that there are a lot of children who go to bed hungry tonight because they don't have any food. Thank you that we have food we can eat. And Lord, thank you for our home that we live in, because I know there are a lot of children who will have to sleep somewhere out on the streets because they don't have a home. But thank you for our home. And Lord, thank you for our parents, because I know some of my friends at school that only have one parent. Some children don't have any parents. Lord, thank you for my parents. And he just kept on and on, 6 years old, praying this prayer. And I'm just like, man, my food was salty that night, man. I mean, I was just crying, you know. But I was so proud. But you know why that kids love that way? It's because you've poured it into them. Pour lots of love into your kids. Tell them over and over. You can't tell them too many times. Well, Shara thinks that maybe you can tell them too many times. That you love him.
Yeah. One day, Mark was telling her, I love you so much, baby. And she looked at him and she said, Dad, can't you find another way to say it? You just always say, I love you, baby. I love you. Isn't there something else you could come up with to mean the same thing?
And I said, baby, do you understand there's some children that don't hear their daddy say that he loves them? But our kids are so accustomed to hearing that we love them that it's just normal to them. They just think that's the way things ought to be. And that is good. That's a good thing that they think it's normal for children to be shown that kind of love. Pour love into your children. Pour a lot of love into your children.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Building Strong Families, which is part of the Family Series.
And Mama, you can tell that baby that they can do anything they put their hand to do, or you can tell them that they're stupid and they don't know how to do anything that they're going to try to do. You're programming a computer. That's what you're doing. You're programming a computer. You are determining that the outcome of that child's life by what you speak into their life right now. I hope that I'm speaking to some mothers to be. I hope that I'm speaking to some people who don't even, you haven't even yet given birth to their children, or that your child is under a year old, so that you will understand that in those formative years, from birth to age 5, those are the most formative years of their entire life. In fact, many people say that by age 5, they will have learned more than half of everything they will know for the rest of their life, no matter how much they study, no matter how much you send them to school, no matter how much you send them to college, to universities, get all the degrees they want to, they say that more than half of what they will ever learn in their lives is learned by age 5. Think about that. And we're worried about the education system. We're worried about what kind of school teachers they have. And I'm going to tell you something. This mother, by God's help, was able to instill enough into that child. But before she turned him over to Pharaoh's daughter, I don't know how old he was when she turned him over to Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know what age he was. I don't know if he just had to be potty trained before she turned him over, if he had to know how to read and write before she turned. I don't know. All I do know is she was able in those few years, in that awkward situation, living in Pharaoh's house with a Jewish baby, a Jewish mama, was able to tell that little boy whose life should have been stolen from him, she was able to teach him enough that when he got older, it says he chose not to be identified as Pharaoh's son.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled For Every Mother and Father, which is part of the Family Series.
You have to learn to be sensitive to the other languages. Do you want to start pointing out what the languages are, or you want to?
Yes, let's go with language number one. Task. Acts of service. When we were engaged.
I know where this is headed.
Now you have to understand who I am, my background. My parents are caterers. My mother is a gourmet cook. My dad has this big catering service. It's the second largest catering service in the New Orleans area. And I used to do desserts. I used to cook desserts when I was single for my mother, but I had never actually cooked a whole meal, and I had never actually cooked a meat dish other than hamburgers. And because to me, that was work. The desserts were fun. And so when we got engaged, people, you know, he would tell people, he'd say, "Oh, man," he said, "you know, she's a caterer's daughter." So the first question they would ask him, "Well, can she cook?" Well, now, the first time this happened, he just answered automatically, and he didn't ask me anything, you know. And so before anything was said, he just says, "Oh, man, can she cook? I mean, you know, her mom's a gourmet cook. Her parents are caterers. I mean, her dad's a caterer, you know. I mean, man, can she cook?" And so I was like, you know, and I didn't want to say, "Excuse me, but I really can't cook. All I can do is desserts, you know." But anyway, so I didn't say anything.
A pastry chef.
But it kept on, and it just kept on. And so
And she never felt any obligation to clear up the misunderstanding.
Well, wait.
Well, no, wait. She felt no obligation to tell me that she could not cook anything but a hamburger.
Wait, I don't. You know what? I would never.
All through the honeymoon.
Wait. You know the thing about, you don't think about the leaks in the roof until it's raining, and then it's too late to do anything about it. And so then when it's not raining, you don't need it, so you don't call the roofer. Okay? Well, it was sort of like I would only think about the fact that I needed to.
Are you going for this? Are you buying this?
But see, I wouldn't think of it unless it was being talked about, and then it was too late to talk about it at that point. So it was like, well, we don't want to discuss it now. So
now I need to tell the next part. All right, we go through all through the honeymoon. We get back home, and we're having our first day at home, and I said, "Well, what are we gonna have for lunch?" And she said, "How about hamburgers?" I said, "Great, that sounds good." So she made hamburgers, and I said, "This is the best hamburger I have ever had in my life." It really was. It was awesome. Great hamburger. And the French fries were great. Wonderful French fries. And so we went all the way through lunch, and then there was no mention of anything. All afternoon long, while that lunch was digesting, there was never a mention of the fact that we were going to have hamburgers for dinner. So it comes dinner time, and I said, "Well, what are we going to have to eat tonight?" She said, "How about more hamburgers?"
This is true. This really happened.
I said, "Excuse you." I said, "We already had hamburgers for lunch. We don't need another hamburger. Why don't we have something else?" She said, "Well, hee hee." "That's all I know how to cook." I said, wait. "You told me that you knew how to cook because you learned from your mother." And she said,
"I never said that. You told everyone that."
I said, "But you didn't correct me." She said, "But you never asked me if I could cook." A little deception here, folks. But so then I said, "Okay, I'll cook." I said, "I used to live by myself when I was a youth pastor at a church over in South Central Louisiana. I said, I lived by myself. I learned to cook there. And so I said, I'll cook." So I start cooking dinner that evening, or tea, if you're from Australia. And so I started cooking dinner, and she stands there in the kitchen, and she says, "You're not doing that right. You're doing that wrong. Nope, it's not supposed to go that way. No, you got to do this over here." So finally, I just said, "You know what? It's going to burn if you don't get over there to it. It's going to burn if you do not walk over to the stove and start cooking, because I am walking away. You're going to do this thing because you don't know how to, but you certainly know what not to do. So just avoid everything that you're not supposed to do, and we'll get a meal out of this."
And we did. And we did.
So, but yeah, and oh, come here. This is great. Come here.
This is great. This is great. So we've been married for about.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Marriage 101, which is part of the family series.
Now let me say to you again, if you have a teenager, if you have an adult child, if you have a brother, a sister, a mother, a dad, a cousin, who's in a relationship with any person, it may not be a love relationship, it may be a friendship relationship. If you have someone in your family who is in a relationship with anyone that you know is a non-fruitful relationship and that is pulling them down, you have positional authority to curse that relationship and cause it to die. Now understand, when I say curse the relationship, I didn't say curse the person. Okay? The other person who is hindering them, you're not speaking death over that person, you're speaking death to the thing that keeps them tied together. That gives that person influence in your loved one's life. You're speaking death to that so that life can come into that person's life. Isn't that powerful? Powerful. See, I want you to know something. The reason I'm preaching this sermon is because it has been requested time and again by people who have heard me talk about cursing relationships. I'll say it. If God gives me a word over someone at an altar and God tells me there's a relationship in your life that's not of God, God told me to curse it and command it to die, people will come up to me after the service. How do you do that? How do you do that? I need to do that because my son, my daughter, my cousin, my brother, my sister, my mother, my dad, they're in a relationship that I know this person has an unholy influence in their life, and I know that it's not of God, and I don't know what to do about it, and I've tried to talk to them, and they won't listen. No, they're not going to listen to you. Don't try to talk to them about it. Talk to God about it, and talk to the devil about it. When they tell you the relationship ended, you need to go, oh, really? You need to practice this so you can look shocked, you know, when they, you know? You need to stand in front of a mirror, you know? And, oh, really? You know, you need to, you don't want them to know you were the one that broke that thing up. You're not going to be anywhere in the vicinity when it happens. They won't have a clue that you had anything to do with it. Don't let them know, because if they know you're the one that caused that thing to be broken out of their life, they may get angry at you. Don't let them know what you're doing. Covert warfare, man. Curse that thing every day till it dies. And then when they tell you, this person's no longer in my life, say, oh, really? And inside you're going, yes! Right? Amen? You can do that. You have positional authority. Take it and use it. But don't just use your ability to curse. Use your ability to bless. Amen? Let me tell you something. I've had people ask me, well, Mark, what if I'm not sure if the relationship is not of God? Be careful what you curse. Be careful what you curse. You have power in your tongue to curse and make something die. Be sure before you curse it that you know it's supposed to die. Don't arbitrarily pronounce curses over relationships when you're not sure, because there will come hindrance in that relationship even if you weren't supposed to curse it. You have that kind of power. You say, what do I do then? Here's the way I pray. Lord, I don't feel right about that relationship in their life. If it's not of you, then I curse it. But if it is of you, I ask you to show me so that I won't curse something that's of God. Remember what Gamaliel said. If this is of God, you don't want to be fighting it. Amen?
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Winning Your Family to God, which is part of the family series. All of the selections on this CD may be purchased in their entirety. You may do so by visiting the store on our website, markgorman.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you is our prayer.